Mr. Sergeant. Mm-hmm. Will you describe again what you were just starting to outline about the kinds of things that had the leaders of the bar at odds with either the court or certain members of the court. And there were, I can remember one time back in the late 70s or the 80s, there were some persons on the court who favored, in effect, bifurcating the bar and using its overseeing its disciplinary functions and that sort of thing, and then creating all the rest of the activity of the bar into sort of a separate voluntary kind of.
Yeah.
Is that where the origin, or how? What is your feeling? You were in kind of the middle of this thing, were you not?
No, I wasn't in the middle. I was on the court. Mm-hmm. But I had knowledge about it because I was, as all of us are on the Michigan Supreme Court, members of the bar, but I'd also been president of state bar, so I understand how the bar works. What was at issue was the methodology of, well, there's a couple of things, and I'm not sure which one you're trying to get to.
Well, I'm just thinking of the. Well, you start out with the Allen Falk case. Now, there was one, there's a lot of division on that.
On the Allen Falk case, that was before I got on the court.
Oh, yeah.
And I was active in the bar, and I served as an appointee of the Michigan Supreme Court to a committee. And I'm not sure if I served as a Michigan Supreme Court appointee or a state bar appointee. In any event, former Chief Justice Otis Smith chaired the committee. I served on his committee. Mm-hmm. We proposed a resolution to the Supreme Court, and they adopted it. I think that was a committee that I was on. I've been on so many in my life. It started out, I remember, with Judge, with the Allen Falk case, which gave rise to Judge Lincoln being appointed as a master. I remember giving testimony before Judge Lincoln regarding some of the things that the Bar Association did. Then it seems to me Justice Otis Smith was appointed chair of a committee, and I worked with him. We made some proposals to the Supreme Court. They adopted them. And the Falk case was resolved before I got on.
Sure. I was just trying to point to what I thought might have been the origin of a trend.
No, that was not an origin. It was not a trend. The next thing that came up was at issue dealing with the grievance commission, mm-hmm. which was the next piece that started in the Detroit News regarding an allegation of destruction of files, an allegation of preferential treatment of two lawyers, and because they were prominent and one was an officer of the bar, that somehow special treatment was afforded. And then on to that was a subsequent death of the second person in charge, and a letter that he left, Gene LaBelle, that surfaced. Mm-hmm. And on to that was a death, a suicide of Judge Bronson of the Court of Appeals, and at issue was the funding of the grievance mechanism. Was it adequately funded? At issue was the handling of the files. At issue was, did the Supreme Court handle it in a proper manner? The appointment of Ted Souris as a person to look into the matter, to report back to the court his recommendations as to what should be done, the recommendations that the court did follow, the recommendations that it didn't follow, and the like. That kind of thing can happen in almost any bar and does periodically. It's unfortunate, but it happens periodically. And it happened to ours, but it did not, in my view, hurt the bar. Well, let me take that back. Anytime something like that is called to the attention of the public, There's always because we're an adversarial profession, there's always people who immediately begin to take sides. Because we're an adversarial profession, people have opinions about the legal profession, and in particular about lawyers. But in my view, the matter was handled entirely properly by the Michigan Supreme Court. And it's behind us.
I see. What about, for example, with Levin and Griffin opposing the dues increase in the bar, that is to the extent that it was
made pronounced in the press? Yeah, they authored a long opinion and the like, outlining their views as to why not.
Well, okay. It sounded to me like Levin was projecting in the future, and if he could, and it might be that the court at some future time would, in effect, take direct charge of the disciplinary budget that now is filtered through bar processes.
Well, it's not really filtered through bar processes. When I left the court, the matter in which it was resolved was handled that the court would have front-end information, middle information, and before the final action of the bar, it would still have input. So the court has resolved that matter, and I think in a correct way, that keeps hands-on, touchy-feely information, and can at any time intervene that it thinks it ought to.